Hi, my name is Loma. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from pride, shame, and fear. Hi, let's pray. Father, thank you that in your love, I'm fearless. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you take over and move in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. My first round of regeneration followed a season I refer to as the dark night of the soul. It was a time when I felt the most unloved, lonely, and worst of all, the farthest from God. I hated the world, felt frustrated with everyone, and was angry with God. It had not always been that way, and I knew that Jesus was the answer, but I didn't know how to find my way back to him. To share some context, I grew up in a Christian home in the Philippines with parents who loved God and followed his ways. My dad was a pastor, and our family was deeply involved in church ministry. I was 11 years old at summer camp when I believed that Jesus was my savior. I knew that Jesus died for my sins and that I needed him to save me. But looking back, I must have thought that it meant I had to live my life according to a set of rules and that God's love changed based on my performance. During college was where my religion turned into a relationship. God captivated me with who he is, and I fell in love with Jesus. I learned how to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and God gave me a deep hunger for his word. I learned that communicating with God goes both ways. He speaks, I listen. I talk to him, he listens and answers me. I was part of a strong Christian community and was surrounded by godly women with whom I learned how to follow Jesus daily. It was some of the best years of my life, and I felt known, loved, and free. But that time was short-lived. My fresh faith in God and his love that awakened and softened my heart were contained in that college campus for 2 years. My faith would soon be tested, and I would fail spectacularly after I moved to the States when I was 19 years old. I joined my sister and brother-in-law who already lived in Dallas, and they helped me move to a small university in East Texas. The next 2 years resembled my college life in the Philippines. I was mostly happy, content, and had met some of my best friends. I did what was expected of me, and the end goal was to finish college and get a job so I can fulfill what I thought was the main purpose of my move to the States, live a better life than I did in the Philippines. Trouble started slowly but surely when I started working in a banking consulting firm. For the first 3 years, I worked long hours while traveling around the States, and I quickly found my identity in my job. Meanwhile, my parents retired from ministry and moved to Dallas with my younger brother. We all struggled with this big adjustment and found it difficult to communicate in the midst of conflict. While I was happy and thankful that we finally lived in the same country, I was also selfish and begrudged helping my parents and younger brother, whether it meant driving them around or offering financial help. I felt guilty as I struggled with my selfishness, as I felt my anger and resentment growing towards God. I couldn't help but ask him, after all those years that my parents sacrificed and served you in ministry, how could you not give them more than what you've given? And there it was, a symptom of the fact that I still wrongly believed that God's love was contingent upon performance. I was acting like an entitled, ungrateful child, ready to collect on what I thought my family and I deserved based on what we've done for God. By the end of that year, I started going to Watermark after attending another church. There was conflict in my family, my closest friends moved out of state, and I struggled to connect with the girls in the community group I just joined. I was slowly isolating myself as I became disappointed with the people around me. I knew that my relationship with God was broken. It felt like I had lost my first love. In 2011, the dark night of my soul begins. For the next 2 years, I worked and lived in London for 2 weeks each month. I traveled frequently for work and for fun. At that point, I thought that I had made it. I was in my early 20s, living on an expense account, traveling extensively like I've always wanted, and working for some of the world's largest banks. But deep inside, I knew it wasn't enough. I knew there would always be someone and something better. And that frustrated me. I still didn't feel good enough, and I felt exhausted, trying to make myself better and prove my worth. I longed to be loved and celebrated, and I felt that finally there was a reason to. But in my mind, no one noticed me. I forgot that everything I had was from God, and that my life's purpose is to glorify and honor him, not myself. I was dangerously unaware of my pride. In the spring of 2013, I stopped traveling for work and God led me to Regeneration. I don't remember what I was thinking when I finally decided to go, but a girl from my community group told me that she thought it was funny how I started going in the guise of sitting with her because I felt bad for her after she told us that going to Regen was hard. During the first few weeks, I felt embarrassed for going to Regen, thinking I was a failed Christian. Someone on staff told us one night that hurt people hurt other people. God helped me see that I was hurt, and in turn, I was hurting people around me. Step one is admit, and God helped me realize that there was something wrong within me. Step two is believe. We come to believe that God is the one whose power can fully restore us. I still recall this moment vividly. I was in my apartment going through the first Regen workbook. I read Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In nothing short of a miracle, the Holy Spirit convicted my heart, and I cried as I thought, "Oh God, I am a sinner. I'm in the gutter just like everyone else. I can't save myself. I need Jesus too." In that moment, I realized that God still loved me after all, and his kindness led me to repentance. Step three is trust, after which God taught me how to trust him in everything as he softened my heart and exposed my pride that was hurting everyone around me. Step four is inventory. We make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. As I processed my inventory for a few weeks, I asked God to reveal what he wanted to show me. While I knew it wasn't possible to list everything I ever did wrong, I had to trust that God had a purpose for the sins and struggles that he would bring to light. One memory that came to mind was from third grade. I was listening to my mom speak highly of my older sister, whom I admired. I remembered that this thought came to my 9-year-old mind. You have to be as good or better than your sister so that others will love you as much as they love her. Suddenly, it dawned on me that the reason why I resented my sister over the last few years was because I felt I was the lesser than sister. None of those thoughts and feelings was my sister's or my mom's fault, but I had been listening to Satan's lies and living as if they were true. God made me see how I had been impatient and disrespectful towards my parents and how I had been harsh with my brother. I saw my own faults and my broken friendships, and as I looked back on my life in light of my inventory, my other issues, hurts, and hang-ups started to make more sense. I was sinful and broken long before my dark night of the soul. Step five is confess. After reading my inventory out loud to my mentor and two girls from my Regen group, I felt relieved and also loved for who I am. They reminded me that in Jesus, I am forgiven, loved, and free, and that the Holy Spirit helps me turn away from sin. Steps 6-8 are repent, follow, and forgive. God graciously showed me the ways in which I needed to change, the resentments to let go, and whom to forgive. As he softened my heart, God taught me how to walk through life circumstances by his grace. I enjoyed spending time with my new niece. I mourned with my family after a death in my brother-in-law's family. I was on break from work travel and had time to build relationships here in Dallas. The deep hunger for God's word was still there, and I met other girls with whom I studied the Bible. God gave me the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Ethiopia, where my heart was reminded of what it felt like being loved by God and enjoying his presence. God was opening my heart again, not only to him, but to others around me. Step nine is amends. After Ethiopia, God showed me whom I needed to make amends with. I met with family members separately and asked for their forgiveness after admitting the wrong that I'd done against them. I reached out to friends I had written off, told them why I disappeared from their life, and asked for forgiveness. One of my amends was with a friend who lived in Alaska. After I awkwardly said my part and cried on the phone, she thanked me for reaching out, extended forgiveness, and kindly said, "I always knew you were prideful, but I know you and love you, so I just had to let go of the hurtful things you said." Her honesty was helpful in my recovery, and I was thankful for the chance to hear about her love for me. Her response and my family's response made me think of how God knows everything about me and still loves me unconditionally, regardless of my performance. In Jeremiah 31:3, God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." Steps 10 through 12 are continue, intimacy, and regenerate. Those steps confirmed what I was experiencing with God, and they were powerful reminders that apart from Him, I have no good thing. After completing Regen in the fall of 2014, I felt drawn to co-lead a group, but still didn't feel God's peace after months of praying. Finally, during Regen mentor training, the speaker said that it's not always wise to mentor someone in Regen with whom you share the same struggle. In that moment, the Holy Spirit made it clear. Leading a group at that time could make me fall into old patterns of pride. I had to trust that He was cautioning me for a reason and that God was leading me somewhere for His glory and my good. Within a week of God's perfect timing, He led me to The Porch, which is Watermark's ministry for young adults. As I prayed that week, God made it clear through His word and community that He was leading me there. I was reluctant, but I couldn't ignore the conviction God placed on my heart. Shortly after, I started serving at The Porch, a ministry I once thought I was too good for and with people I used to judge. As I wrote on my journal after my first night, I knew that it was God correcting me as He brought to mind Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Until today, God is using The Porch to grow me in His truth and love. I still laugh at God's sense of humor and continue to feel humbled as He gives me His love and compassion for people I once judged and thought I was too good for. Last summer, God led me back to Regen. I received an email asking me to consider leading a group just as I was asking God if it was time to go back to Regen. I had pending work travel to a new country, and as I feared that things would go back to the way they were during my London travel days, friends encouraged me to be excited. God was doing something new, and I pressed in to actually enjoy God and what He was doing. Around the same time, I met a guy whom God used to reveal that my struggle with shame was deeper than I thought. When I unexpectedly met this guy at an event, I thought that he was cute. Immediately after, I heard a voice in my head say, "But he'd never go for you. And even if he did, surely he'd find someone prettier and more fun." While nothing more came out of that interaction, it bothered me why I thought that someone would leave me for someone better. It was less about him and more about how there seemed to be a sinful pattern in my thought life. As I asked God about it, He showed me that I was struggling with shame. Guilt is feeling bad about something you've done. Shame is feeling something is wrong with you. As I processed this with God, I made a list of my closest friends since childhood. I realized that for each friend, they were always complimented for being beautiful, fun, and exciting. Rarely did anyone tell me that. When someone did, I brushed it off and didn't believe them. Until then, I was too prideful and afraid to admit that because of this pattern, I grew up thinking that there must be something wrong with the way that I looked and acted. God showed me that the answer was not for everyone to tell me that I'm beautiful, fun, and exciting. The answer is in the truth of God's word. He created me in His image. He did not make a mistake in how He made me look the way that I look. He formed my personality exactly as He meant to. Satan's lies have no power over me, and I have to daily choose to believe the truth about who God says I am and be confident in it. As I started my second round of Regen as a leader, I feared I would return to old patterns. But God was faithful to remind me that His grace is sufficient in my weakness and that He is the only one who can change hearts. It was not my job to change these women. My job was to point them to Jesus and love them as God loves me. Even as I feared if I would get along with my co-leader, God provided someone who made the journey fun and meaningful. We balanced each other with the gifts God has given us, and God showed me that although I was different from my co-leader and our Regen coach, God's love united us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and in our 10 months together, love permeated our group. We had our commencement last month, and each woman looked different than she did on our first night. Their faces were radiant, and their spirits were lighter, evident of the work that God has done. I'm thankful for and proud of these women for their courage, vulnerability, and endurance. I'm grateful for the beautiful privilege of watching God show His love to each of them in a way that penetrated their heart, mind, and soul. God is changing their hearts and their lives reflect it. Before and after Regen, my circumstances stayed fairly the same, but God has changed my heart. I have learned the secret of being content in any situation. which is doing it through Christ who gives me strength. I have the same family, but I appreciate and love them more than I ever have. God has shown me that they are proof of his love and faithfulness. I have the same job, but he showed me that he's using it to provide for me and bless others. I'm learning how to share his love, truth, and light in the marketplace, including when I travel overseas. I'm still single, but God continues to show me his purpose in my singleness. He's refining my view of marriage, and I have to trust that if marriage is part of his will, it's worth the wait and will happen in God's perfect timing. As I surrender my own will and seek God's will daily, he keeps doing exceedingly more than I could ask or imagine. He's shown me that the antidote to my every fear is his perfect love, and that I have nothing to be ashamed of as I walk in the identity he's given me and as I follow the example of Jesus, not the world. He's teaching me that as I receive and rest in the Father's love, it enables me to love God and love others. I can trust that no matter my circumstances, Jesus is my good shepherd, the Holy Spirit is my constant companion, and God as my heavenly Father who loves me is faithful. Psalm 13:5 to 6 says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." If I could tell you one thing tonight, it would be that God loves you. My life changed when I believed the truth that God loves me. In his kindness, God brought me to regeneration to patiently show me how much he loves me and that he's worthy of all my trust. He reminded me of who he is and who I am. Whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you that God makes all things new and everything beautiful in its time. Trust him. He is worth far more than anything or anyone this world has to offer. Thank you for listening.